This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Ball game over, season over.
It was very, very rewarding for me. The result tonight was not, but the everyday going to work with these guys was incredibly rewarding for me.
And that was the whole message all day long against arguably the best running team in the league.
Theirs is unique because they are the number one transition team.
Look at what a smart play by Lonzo Ball. He's going to dunk it off.
Tell me the knees ain't right. Tell me the knees aren't ready.
Hey, Bill, yes. You know, Alonzo's brother, LiAngelo, has the hottest song on the market right now, on the charts. It's called Tweaker.
Really?
Yes. I might swerve in that corner. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Here you go.
I know, fans, one specific plan. We're in transitional phase, and there's more to come.
Oh, maybe at the rim, but don't be late. Oh, my goodness, Kobe White, Eden Rim here in Orlando. Oh, my goodness, the Magic Kingdom will never be the same.
I want to start with trade. We want to thank Zach for 8 years that he gave to this organization.
Bulls guard Kobe White was named the Kia NBA Player of the Month in the East for games played in March.
Kobe on the pump. Kobe on the drive. Kobe to the rack. And a right-handed power dunk. Kobe White with a slam. Oh, my goodness. Kobe White with authority, and he put it down.
Kobe White has a poster on Wemby.
And I know a lot of people talking about, well, let's lose and get the draft pick so we can get in the Cooper Flag sweepstakes. Guess what, guys? You already got Cooper's flag.
Oh, easy. Oh, no.
Zealous against Doncic behind the back. Hey,
don't show it all to him, Boozy.
What's his move right here?
Ooh. Don't show it all to him, Boozy Vert.
Look at him behind the back.
Next 30 games will determine if we will be in play-in and playoffs.
117-116 Lakers. Williams to Giddey over the midcourt line. Giddey goes. Midcourt. Oh! It's gone! It's gone! It's gone! Bulls win! Bulls win! Bulls win! Josh Giddey from midcourt from the Bulls logo. What a ball game! Unbelievable! Unbelievable! Josh Giddey! I love you!
This is something that is achievable, and our guys are capable of getting there.
We know there's a big hoops game tonight. Bulls taking on the Heat. The game is at the half right now. Unfortunately, the Bulls are down 71-47 in the play-in game.
And now it's all over.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. The Bulls getting
the treatment. They have been good fellowed by Chris Tannehill.
The Goodfellas treatment has happened. It's all over. Goodbye to the Bulls. The season that you entered, fans, with a goes out with a
Goodfellas.
I mean, seriously. It's like, how are you supposed to get excited for another round of this when AK has shown you that this is success? This is play-ins slash playoff. He puts them together, even if the games disappear into the record book. He calls it playoffs. He's muscling up about win totals today.
Which is ridiculous.
Ridiculous. And I think you're spot on, as you said in transition. He's not going to bottom out. He's chosen the middle. And according to this, he has achieved the middle. They got themselves another play-in game. Would have been nice if they had the one series. But still, it was some fun basketball, and it was the bottom of the middle. And all right, let's try again next year. Boo.
And you could probably end up in a similar space if there aren't legitimate changes that are made to where things go. It's very frustrating because you're watching NBA hell. Like, that's what you're watching. You're watching. And they're obviously good things that happened inside of this season. And I don't want to completely throw those out the window. The problem is that they're the ones who move the goalpost. They're the ones that said, oh, you know what? Judge us on what we do after we make this trade. Okay, you made the trade and you kind of still ended up in the same place.
Were they 17-8 over the last 35 games, 15-5 in the last 20? Oh, yeah, 17-8 over the last 25, 15-5 in the last 20. I mean, they're proud of that.
Yeah, but that is September baseball. Like, that's what this has been. And you saw one of the things that they're not good at is they got game planned. And it keeps happening. Eric Spoelstra, we talked about it a couple days ago. This is one of the best guys on the bench. This is a guy who started out his career as a film rat under Pat Riley. He scouted the bleep out of the Bulls and was ready. Took that loss that they had, the three losses that they had against the Bulls, and said, okay, cool. What happens when we're playing for real?
Yeah, because that Bulls team looked overwhelmed and intimidated, as well in that first half. You got Billy screaming to them about what their identity is during the game. We got to get stops and we got to run. We got to get stops. We got to run. Giddy doubling back on that at the halftime interview, saying we just got to run. We got to outpace them. But they lost their identity. They completely lost whoever they were because of what the Heat and Spoelstra did.
It's hard to outpace a team that is okay with getting points in the paint and you're not shooting well. The attack, the game plan for Miami was fantastic. And they went after him. They said, oh, all right, we're going to take advantage of Vooch not being a really good post defender. We're going to take advantage of Giddy not rotating over when he's supposed to. We're going to use the idea of being two passes away to mess with their defensive rotations. And then when you collapse in on what's going on in the paint, we have a sniper out there who's going to turn your lights out for you in the first quarter.
And if you run out to go get the sniper, he's gotten real good at going by you and getting into the lane, finishing in the lane or finishing with that little floater halfway. Tyler Herro, I thought Doris Burke said it great last night. She's like, look how slow the game is for him. Look how under control he was with the ball in his hands at all times.
And look how out of control as a team the Bulls looked last night. Like, the whole thing is completely frustrating. Like, I understand any fan is like that was booing at halftime yesterday because they didn't get a quality effort. And the thing is that when your identity as a team is to be the team that's going to win off of effort, and that's what the Bulls' identity has been, pace mm-hmm. and effort. That's how we win games. Then you have to then show that when it's critical, when it is win or go home. And they didn't do that last night. And they have only themselves to blame for it. It was a failure. And you know that I love Billy. Billy got pants last night.
He definitely did.
He didn't get his guys to do what they were supposed to do, and Spoelstra got his guys to do what they're supposed to do in a fun and exciting and suffocating way against the Bulls.
They got he got absolutely out-muscled from a coaching perspective and completely thrown off of their game. For anybody who bailed or didn't watch, you should know that by the end of this thing on ESPN, it had devolved into either national embarrassment territory again, or at the very least, national template of what you don't want to be as an NBA organization. Listen to Richard Jefferson and Doris Burke and Mike Breen as they talk about big picture, because the last several minutes were a talk show.
And then if it does end tonight for Chicago, you got some big decisions where Josh Giddey is concerned.
Pay that man his money.
Restricted free agent. It'd be shocking if they didn't. Adebayo just dribbling it now. They're comfortable lead. This is a terrific win for the Miami Heat on the road. As Adebayo can't connect. And third straight season, the Bulls have lost in the play-in to the Miami Heat.
But I think Chicago has a real adjustment that they have to figure out. They moved on from Zach, from DeMar DeRozan. They're trending younger. But they got to get themselves back into those positions, either getting a top 10 pick, a top 5 pick. That's the way you rebuild. It's hard to do it via just tons of free agents and trying to figure it out that way. It's harder to build out your team.
You can easily get stuck in mediocrity in the NBA for a long time as Giddey puts that one in.
Are you using the T word right there?
No. I'm just saying it's like maybe play all of the young players, which leads to the T word.
Okay.
And a foul call on White. And with 2:29 remaining, we want to say a little something about somebody very special to us. Tonight is the final telecast on ESPN for our Cassidy Hubbard. 15 years she's been with us. Next year she's going to be a part of Amazon's package. Now, Cassidy has been such a dedicated professional, a wonderful teammate, and most importantly, as kind, a caring a friend as you could possibly have. She has been a huge piece of our NBA coverage. We're going to miss her like crazy, but she's going to be a slam dunk for their first year coverage next year, and it has been an absolute honor to work with her.
She's a pro's pro, an unbelievable friend.
I know her as Mama Cass.
Yes.
I know her as Mama Cass.
Who's going to take care of you, RJ? Yeah. I have no idea.
Thank you so much to everyone for all of your support. It has been one of the truest and most special gifts of my life.
Thank you, Cassidy. Meanwhile, the boos are not for Cassidy. They are for the Chicago Bulls. And a disturbing first half as they put themselves in a bad hole down 25. You love the fight in the second half. They keep battling back. They've got some excellent young talent. Giddey, Bouzelis, Kobe White. And as you said at the top, Richard, you don't want to be in the play-in tournament three straight years.
That's during game time for the best you can do. A postseason game, an after regular season game in your own building. And national TV has what went on longer than that. A good 4 to 5 minute love fest for Cassidy Hubbard, who I'm sure is delightful.
She is delightful. She's one of ours.
Okay, but I have no slight to Cassidy Hubbard.
Evanston's own, the score's own, Cassidy Hubbard. Another one of those people that you can put on the list of folks that came from here and end up working doing play-by-play.
Well, that's lovely, and it be wonderful to talk to her anytime, but I don't want to be at her farewell party in the middle of the postseason game for the team that told you all year this is going to happen and you're going to enjoy it.
You would hope that would be something that during a timeout that you would do.
Yes.
Or coming back in from commercial.
Yes.
That you could talk about the great job the cast has done.
Sure.
On ESPN.
I'm all there for it, but the last 3 minutes of a basketball game on my television that I carved out time for to watch?
Yeah.
That's so embarrassing.
That's on the Bulls. Them not bringing their A effort to last night's game. Them not being able to handle what Miami threw at them and not being able to overcome it.
What'd you guys get for Cassidy Hubbard for a farewell party? Did you guys get her something? Did you write her a card at the very least?
I might.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Then deliver that another time.
She's good people.
That's fine.
I got her scratch off tickets.
See, that's nice because there's a chance something great happens.
You know what we should do?
It wasn't going to be the Bulls.
Does Heckies still exist? Should we get her a gift card to Heckies?
Oh, what is Heckies?
Heckies Barbecue in Evanston.
That sauce is the real deal.
Never heard of it.
It's really? The sauce.
Yeah, Heckies.
Heckies on Evanston. Yeah, was it on Ridge?
Right there on Ridge.
Right near where Ridge and Green Bay Road yeah. kind of coalesce
what
right
the
there.
Heckie, I know a lot about restaurants.
Oh, man, that's good.
Not as much as Tanny, though.
Shane knows more. Tanny's just better at it.
Oh, I forgot to introduce the crew. By the way, Tanny with a great job on the Goodfellas Open for the Bulls.
Yeah.
And Shane had raspberries today.
That's actually good.
And that man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello. Raspberries.
I'm about to go get a clementine during the break. Do you guys want one?
For real?
A cutie? Yeah, do you want one?
Oh, my God.
I got a bag of them at Mariano's today.
Oh, my darling. Yes, I'd love one.
Of course.
I'd love one. Yeah,
$2.99 at Mariano's today.
That seems like a good idea.
For the 5 pound or the 3 pound?
Yeah, for the 5 pound.
No, my goodness.
Yeah, insane. Can't pass that up.
No, you can't. You could have, but you didn't. Glad you didn't.
Yeah, we're glad you didn't. So, yeah, we can get Cass a Heckies gift card or something.
That's great. That's great. I'd like
I don't
to
know
have
why
her.
You're mad at her.
I'm not mad. It's
coming off like that.
I don't. Is it clear that I'm not mad at her? I'm mad at the Bulls creating a product where the broadcast devolves into a farewell party.
You're being dismissive
of her.
Yeah,
I disagree. I have every step of the way made concessions to her being a lovely person, probably, and I don't know her and all of that. I just didn't want her farewell party in the middle of the basketball game. The Bulls' fault.
It's very possible that she interned for you, Speaks.
I don't remember that.
I know. That's why I'm saying you're being very dismissive.
I remembered most of my interns.
Well, speaking of that, Speaks, we have 10 former interns here. We're going to line them up, and you can say hello to all of them by name. This is your intern life, Matt.
I'm sure I gave all of them excellent advice at the end of their run when they wanted to know whether to chase a career in this business.
Yeah, you haven't seen them again, so
there's a couple. There's a couple out there. They're doing fine work. I mean, I don't advertise my tree quite as much as everybody else. But I can. I'll get that ready.
Maybe it's a bad tree.
Oh, how about that?
Rotten roots.
This tree got taken down by the Japanese beetle.
I had
the Rotten Roots podcast. Matt Spiegel.
I had 3 interns in a row at one point when I was a producer on the afternoon show, and they were Dan Zampillo, Jeff Dickerson, and Matt Abatacola.
In a row?
3 in a row. I had those 3 guys in a row.
What you have them do, too. Just clip out box scores and blow them up in the copy machine?
Yeah, mostly, we still had to do that.
Make liquor store runs, mostly.
Sure. Yeah.
Send them over to J.J. Pepper's.
Uh-huh. Go get me some reading glasses and something manly.
Send them over to Jewel to get the rotisserie chicken.
Oh, that's the good stuff.
It's very important.
Yeah. Yardbird.
Get yourself some Yardbird.
Honey wings.
This is not enough. Make it enough.
I never sent anybody on a task like that. Never once did I make somebody wash my car. I did ask Rich Wyatt to go get my passport one time. You guys
did.
Remember that?
Yeah, it was like one of our first times in this studio. Yeah. I remember sitting right here looking at Rich in there and Speaks like,
hold
Rich,
on.
I
need you guys to whiteboard this. Why was Rich Wyatt getting your passport?
He was an available human on a day when I had to get my passport by like 2 o'clock or something.
Yeah, it was like the emergency passport pickup. Like, you were going out of the country the next day.
Our lead engineer.
He wasn't the lead engineer.
Look,
at that
Lawrence,
time.
there was times working with Danny where Speaks talked about faking his own death and starting a new life somewhere else. So
understandably,
we tried to do everything we could to let that happen.
Understandably, and that's how you know that I'm happy now with my partner. I haven't brought that up in at least 3 weeks, 5 weeks, faking my own death. I mean, it's been a while.
You haven't.
Hey, the afternoon's young though. You know what I'm saying? The Uber driver enjoys our show as well. He's just a big Layla fan. That's all.
Why?
I love
the
that.
The way that you frame stuff sometimes is amazing.
Yeah?
Because, like, you couldn't just be happy for Layla.
I absolutely was.
You had to connect it to, I think he likes our show, too, just fine.
Well, now I just had to not, because I'm worried about you. You're the one with the framing thing as a listener. So I'm trying to take care of you.
I'm tasty pudding, man. I'm totally good.
So am I.
It was just
yeah, it sounds like it, man.
Yeah.
Hey, you know this thing we talked about 25 minutes ago? I want to remind you, the Uber driver probably likes us too.
He does.
All right?
I think he does.
Just ladies, speaking your validations out loud.
Ladies, you know, give it up for Tasty Pudding. He's a professor.
He dreams of Montreal.
So Tanny, I have to come out with the glasses, right? Like, that's got to be
Tasty
part of the
pudding.
Thing. Like, I got to throw the glasses.
Yeah.
I come out hot for teacher. Like, that's my thing that I do.
Yeah, man.
The worst driver ever.
Oh, man. You know what? I don't like the way this show's going. I think I'm going to fake my own death. That's what I
see. And now we're back. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. We're going to get you back out to the Advocate Center. Why? Because you had someone in the room who had your interest as a fan in mind. And we're going to spotlight that person because they are a frequent guest on the show. That's next.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
The plan you laid out, there has been no talk about how you guys are going to figure out how to add an elite player. Until you do that, you're stuck in mediocrity. And the thing you talked about last year at this time was getting out of mediocrity. So I'm confused with why you think this plan is going to work when there's no plan.
Well, I think there is a plan, and I think that we always going to be looking how to improve this roster.
And the search goes on. That's Arturis Karnišovas as his season-ending press conference here on Score Middays. Mark Grody, Marshall Harris hanging out with you on a Friday. Reminding you that we're broadcasting from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And there you heard AK addressing the lack of a star, the lack of someone who can put this franchise on its back and carry it to the top of the playoffs, or just to the playoffs as opposed to the play-in. And Mark Grody, you have approached me with this idea that you are an AK defender and are defending his thought process and his way of life.
I can never get mad at any sports franchise, and we're talking about the Bulls. I can't get mad at the Bulls, competitive people, for not being able to pull off a tank, which is what seems like you would have preferred that the Bulls do. Dan Bernstein, I heard, used to hear you and Bernsey talk about that all the time, about wanting to see this team tank. They got rid of DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, Alex Caruso. So they did put themselves in a position to where we all thought it was going to be an awful, terrible, lost season this year. But you got bumps from a couple guys that you didn't think you were going to necessarily get bumps from. Modest Puzelis and Josh Giddey. So what? Sit those guys down and put Dalen Terry and Talen Horton Tucker and Julian Phillips into the game? Is that what you guys wanted to see?
Let me correct you real quick.
What have I told you about correcting me?
Okay, so you just said that you heard Dan and I talk about tanking all the time.
Yeah.
If you listen that close, and Ray Diaz is back there, he can back me up on this. I told Dan at the beginning of the season, the Bulls are too good to tank even after they get rid of Zach LaVine. Once they move him at the deadline, they still won't be good enough to tank. You know why? Because these teams are out here tanking. How many games clear of a play-in spot do you think the Chicago Bulls were? if you had to guess, 82-game schedule, how many games clear? I'll tell you who the team was. The team that finished 11th in the Eastern Conference was the Toronto Raptors. How many games clear of the Raptors do you think the Bulls were?
What do you, like, one or two games?
Is that what you think? One or two? How about seven?
Ooh.
And guess what? If the Bulls have been creeping closer to being in tank territory, aka finishing the top, the bottom five of the conference, Toronto would have lost even more games.
What did you want the Bulls to do this year? How could they have better tanked?
I'll lay it out for you.
Okay.
It's very simple. I wanted the Bulls to play their young players more. I wanted the Bulls
and
to trade.
Who are you talking about? Josh Giddey and Montrezl Bozelis?
No, I'm talking about Julian Terry. I'm talking about Julian Phillips
and
Dalen Terry.
At the expense of Montrezl Bozelis and Josh Giddey.
No, you're not following. I wanted them all to play together, the young guys.
Okay. And
trade Vooch.
Okay.
Trade Vooch. Get the 2 second round picks or whatever you can get for Vooch. Because now you have more draft assets.
Sit Kobe White, though, right? Because that's way too many. That's way too much scoring. Those are three-pointers. Miss those shots.
I was never under the belief that the Bulls were going to be as good as they are now. I was also never under the belief that they were going to be bad enough to be with the Washington Wizards and the Charlotte Hornets, who have 18 and 19 wins apiece, respectively. So my point was, it's okay if you win a little too much and you don't have the best odds. What's not okay is not getting the draft assets moving forward. Nikola Vucevic gone, and now you're playing somebody else at that position, right? So you're not going to win as much.
So this is really it really comes down to Vooch for you then.
That's the number one thing they missed on at the trade deadline is trading Vooch. And also not getting draft assets back as opposed to players. So Robbie, behind that glass back there, will tell you that the Josh Giddey trade was a success. I said it was successful if you just wanted a player. But if you want to be able to move guys to get a superstar, get more draft picks. They should have gotten a first-round pick.
Well, my point is Josh Giddey is going to be better than any other draft pick and what that player is going to be, because my guess is that draft pick was going to be after the lottery. So maybe 20 to 31 or whatever they're going to get for Alex Caruso, because no one's going to trade a lottery pick for Alex Caruso. That's why I was like, you have a certified player here. Draft is whatever. It's any bit of hope. But I understand what you're saying, getting those draft picks to get other things. But Josh Giddey's better than any of those draft picks they would have gotten.
Let me ask you a simple question, Mark. Are we any closer to the Bulls being competitive and competing for a championship at the end of this season than we were at the end of last season?
I think yes, because of the continued development of Montrezl Bozelis. I think because of the continued development of Kobe White. I think because of the surprising things that Josh Giddey did. Because that's the way I look at it. Like, I see this season as a developmental success in some ways. I didn't want the Bulls to be in the play-in game. They're not as good as I wanted them to be this year. But you have some... Yes, you are lacking the superstar.
How
many teams in the NBA have superstars? Like, there's like it's not. I get it.
Let's
like,
count them off.
It almost sounds like the you think the Bulls are entitled to a superstar, or NBA teams are entitled to having a superstar on their roster. It's hard to get that guy. It's very difficult to get superstars.
There's two ways to get a superstar. There's three actually, but the third one is out of the question. The third one is signing a free agent superstar. Rarely do guys get to free agency in the way that you need to get that, unless they team up with someone else and say, we're just going to go here because we can play together. The other way is through a trade. Again, the Bulls don't have the assets. If Joker was available today, they can't go get him because they don't have the assets to go get Joker.
Do you think that a sign and trade for Josh Giddey, maybe? Do you think that other teams look at him and say, oh, wow, from afar, and just look at the numbers and say, man, look what this guy is doing. Boy, that's not the player that we saw at Oklahoma City. Maybe that guy is suddenly an asset, as Robbie was saying, maybe as valuable as another draft pick.
Where did the Josh Giddey Bulls lead you?
This year?
Yeah.
Well, to the play-in game.
And what happened then?
They lost.
Okay, so no.
So you're saying he's a lost cause because they lost the play-in
game? He's not a lost
cause. And there's no value to that player because they lost the play-in game?
He's not a lost cause, but when you talk about sign and trade for what? What do you think Josh Giddey is getting you in a sign and trade?
I mean, that's an asset. That's an asset, right?
Oh, okay.
So you said that they're bereft of assets, that they don't have.
Yes.
That is an example of an asset, right? That's a up-and-coming, based on this year, do you not think he's an up-and-coming player? Maybe you just don't like Josh
Giddey. I think he's a still-developing player who has a ceiling when it comes to defense, and it takes players who can play both ends of the court to win and compete for championships. That's what I think.
I mean, for sure. I mean, the defense has been a struggle for this player, for sure.
And Josh Giddey's not leading that turnaround, is my point.
But a lot of this season for the Bulls, that's another thing. A lot of this season for the Bulls was rebound and run, and let's catch up with the rest of the NBA and shoot threes and be offensive in that regard. Do they need to add another Alex Caruso, a guy that they traded away, guys that can play defense?
No,
of course they
need
they
to
do.
Add a superstar. They need to add a superstar.
Which isn't that easy to do. Which is not that
easy
to do.
But it's easier when you are bad and you can take on bad contracts. You have so much more versatility when you're not actively trying to just get to the play-in stage and say, hey, guys, we led the league in attendance again. And that's where they are right now. So we'll see what happens.
Okay, all right.
We'll have to leave it there.
To be continued. I think we need to continue this conversation at some point.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Check Todd out at The Ringer. He's doing incredible stuff with Todd McShay Show.
You guys are the not messing around crew. I like it.
Afternoons on The Score.
Let's go to Jack in Ukrainian Village. Jack, you're up next on The Score.
First of all, shout out to Cowley for just embarrassing AK today. Like, that's the kind of vitriol this man should be spoken to at this point. In the Bulls' tenure, this franchise is basically a two-bit Las Vegas residency, just clamoring on to stay relevant and stay profitable. And it's just pathetic, and this city deserves better.
The calls on the midday show today were really excellent. We are looking forward to our own Bank of Bulls callers later on in the show. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show. At 3 o'clock, we're going to check in with our buddy Matt Miller, get his thoughts on the Bears in the draft. We'll also catch up on Guagi. Joe Cowley was an advocate for you, the Bulls fan, today at the Advocate Center. Speaks, he was everything you want someone who is asking questions of people in power to be.
That's his role, and he's unafraid. He always has been, and it's a really good role. I remember a conversation with him a few years ago, and we were like, yeah, I don't think there's any way to look at this thing other than a Reinsdorfian acceptance of the middle. And that was reinforced today, and I'm looking forward to people getting a chance to hear this.
This was Joe Cowley going after, in a respectful way, Arturis Karnišovas.
Arturis, a couple quick questions. Have you had any contact with Denver about going back to Denver, or have they reached out to you about the opening there, or no?
No. I mean, I'm in Chicago. I'm focused only on this roster. And
have Jerry or Michael said to you, things have to change, your jobs are on the line, specifically yours?
Well, you know, we have a very good relationship with Jerry and Michael. I think we take pride, especially in this building, everybody being on the same page. It's very hard to accomplish, but that's how it is in this building. Cohesion between the ownership, front office, coaching staff, performance staff. So they've been always very supportive of my decisions or my thoughts and, you know, about this direction. When we sat down a year ago, it was a challenging year. As you remember, I was sitting here. Obviously, we didn't know what we were going to do with this group. So they've been very supportive, and I consistently talk to them. You know, from game to game, so there's no misunderstanding there. So this some positives. Obviously, that's not where we want to be, but we took a step forward this year.
And then finally, with the plan you laid out, there has been no talk about how you guys are going to figure out how to add an elite player. Until you do that, mm-hmm. you're stuck in mediocrity, and the thing you talked mm-hmm. about last year at this time was getting out of mediocrity. So I'm confused with why you think this plan is going to work when there's no plan.
Well, I think there is a plan, and I think that we always going to be looking how to improve this roster by adding a player or high caliber player. At the same time, I would not put any limitations on this roster or on the way Kobe has been playing or the way Josh has been playing. So I think those players have a chance of playing on a very high level.
So we constantly going to be looking for ways to improve, from year to year. And now our focus is next 2 months. We don't know. We cannot speculate what's going to happen leading to the draft. But there's going to be opportunities that we might be, getting there. So.
And the history of the league says that top five picks is the quickest way to turn things around and sustain things, either drafting that pick or trading and acquiring that pick. It seems like you guys are so stuck on this philosophy of competitive integrity, and when the history of the league screams at you that that's wrong.
Well, I do believe in, the way we wanted to build this roster is basically having players that have experience to kind of shrink the timeline and continuously, look for other ways to improve your roster. And I truly believe, I think Billy spoke before and every, after every game about how important it is for this young group to, to focus on winning and what goes into winning instead of just rolling the, ball out and, tell them to go and develop, So this is very important for us, and, that's the path we chose, so.
I'll say this. I think he's gotten actually a little better at trying to dance around linguistically what they're so obviously doing. Competitive integrity, okay, that means being decent at the very least and just being okay with that. And then this, players that have experience, acquiring players that have experience to shrink the timeline, then look for other ways to build the roster. That's choosing the middle, which is what they did, and he's still holding on to that one choice. I don't know how many choices most basketball bosses get, but he got one big choice, and he chose to get DeMar and Vooch and Lonzo and choose the middle, and that's still where he is, even though they've gotten rid of a couple of those pieces. But now he's going to choose it again with Patrick, who he already signed, and Giddey. He's going to choose the middle.
This text from the 815 is pretty great. I guess it is possible to be disappointed and at the same time not one bit surprised. The Bulls remain who we thought they were. I think that is accurate. We'll talk more about the Bulls in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll take some of your phone calls, too, inside of the 5 o'clock hour. By the way, we are going to give away some tickets to see Ice Cube's Truth to Power, 4 decades of the Attitude Tour. Be listening for me to spit an Ice Cube lyric at some point in the show.
Yeah!
And then you can call 312-540-0670. We're going to talk with Matt Miller next here on The Score.
Well, KC, man, oh boy, it feels like, is it possible that one play-in game can ruin all the feel-good from the trade deadline on? It just, wow, was that an awful game.
Yeah, they didn't play well, obviously, at either end. That start, you could just kind of see it from the start. Miami just kept driving right to the rim. There was no resistance. And then offensively, Eric Spoelstra, had a great defensive game plan. They were a top 10 defense all year. So very deflating end to a good run. Bulls, win or lose, the Bulls had a lot of work to do moving forward to get out of this middle that they're in. And that work remains.
Billy talked about Casey after the game about how they just didn't play to their identity at all over the course of the game. And this is an identity that I felt like they worked so hard to establish over the course of the year. So my question is why? Like, why couldn't they come into this game with this sort of solidified identity that they had been working for all season?
Well, I mean, a couple things, Ruthie. I mean, first of all, you're not always going to play well every game. And then second of all, I was curious to see if they could do it when the lights were bright.
Yeah.
I mean, March and April basketball in the NBA is a little skewed. I've been saying that for a while. I mean, it was a very enjoyable run that the Bulls went on, finishing 15-5. But, they got to do it when it matters. And as I said, Miami had a really, really good defensive game plan and executed it. And then the Bulls just seemed like they kind of got in their own head. I mean, Kobe had 7 turnovers. You don't see that very much from him. He kept driving to the rim kind of were with nowhere to go. And that was just kind of emblematic of the Bulls' offensive struggles. So, you know, those games happen. Obviously, it happened at a really bad time. And, you know, the players downplayed this, and maybe I'm making something out of nothing because completely different seasons, completely different teams. But, you know, beating Miami in the play-in has become the elephant in the room. I mean, that's three straight years the Heat have ended their season. So I may be projecting that onto the locker room. I have no idea. But I asked Billy about a pregame, you know, because I felt like it was pertinent. And he downplayed it, of course. So, again, I don't know if that has anything to do with it as well, but it's just wild that Miami has ended their season 3 years in a row.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Bulls are like third in pace of play and the Heat are 27th. That was a Heat.
That's right.
That was their game. I mean, that was the Bulls. There was nothing that of their personality in that game, period, end of story. You didn't feel for a minute that they were going to, you know, pick up the pace, get moving, knock down a shot. It just felt like it was the Heat doing anything they wanted and stopping anybody from the Bulls from having any kind of contribution. It was like as thorough an arse kicking as I've seen in a while. It was really ugly.
Well, the Heat had more fast break points than the Bulls. That tells you all you need to know.
Wow.
I mean, the Heat aren't a fast breaking team. They like to slow it down. They like to get you in the half court. And then also, two of the three regular season victories for the Bulls completely blew the Heat out in the fourth quarter. So that style that Ruthie was talking about, that I asked Billy about postgame, the Bulls just wore the Heat down and then just ran away and hid from them in the fourth quarter. I mean, it didn't really matter what the score was in the fourth quarter last night because the Bulls were down so much, but they certainly didn't blow them out in the fourth quarter like they did in two of the three meetings. So, yeah, it was across the board. But like I said, I mean, you know, obviously they closed very strong, very strongly, and there are a lot of positives to take from some of the individual development stories. But regardless of what happened in this play-in, the Bulls have a lot of work to do to get out of the middle. And, you know, we're going to hear from our tourists today. And, you know, this is going to be an off season where I don't see a lot of change coming unless they're able to execute trades. So I'll be curious to hear what plan he has laid out.
Do you think, though, KC, the way it ended and sort of the embarrassment of the blowout last night, like, do you almost feel like that's a little bit of a blessing? If they would have maybe squeaked out a win, or if they would have, you know, been able to, or even if they just lost by like 3 points, had a shot to win at the buzzer, don't you kind of feel like the way it ended sort of makes you look this in the eye and say, okay, something needs to change? Because, it, you know, the excitement of, you know, post-trade deadline Bulls is sort of really has gone away.
Well, I mean, you got to take a big picture view. But it is a good question, though, because, like, at the end of the day, and I don't want to, like, poo-poo again, there were a lot of positives from this season. I mean, if you go back to what Arturs said on media day, they definitely executed some of the things they wanted to do, changing the way they wanted to play stylistically from an offensive standpoint, developing the young players, retaining their first-round pick, which they got back in the Zach trade. So some of the goals outlined at the start of the year were accomplished. But at the end of the day, regardless of what happened in the play-in, you know, they're 39-43 in a bad conference. So they're still in the middle, and they have to get better. Now, they're going to obviously lean on internal development, guys like Josh Giddey, assuming he's re-signed, which I think he will be, guys like Matis Buzelis. You hope Kobe takes another step. But, yeah, I mean, overall, I don't know how positively you can spin it now, given what happened last night. And I know that, you know, Arturs is going to point to some of those things I just talked about, which is notable and important. But there obviously needs to be a plan to get a star, too, because the Bulls don't really currently have a star. They've traded two all-stars and an all-defensive player in DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, and Alex Caruso. And now they're counting on these young players to ascend. And there were signs that they potentially could do that, but they're still pretty far ways away.
I don't know how to ask this question, but I think Billy had a really good season. I felt he did a good job. And I feel like when we look around the NBA, we're seeing a very quick hook on a lot of people. And it's, you know, an impossible job in some places to be a coach in the NBA. What Sacramento's gone through, 3 coaches in 3 years. I don't think Billy's in trouble. But I wonder about AK, about Mark Eversley. I just wonder if ownership will get to a point where they're no longer patient. It's been 10 years since the Bulls won a playoff game. And it's, you know, I'm not counting the play-in games, but they haven't won them either. I just don't know. I don't know. You never know how time is perceived from an organization until, like, you're out of time.
Right. I would just say I'd be surprised if any changes come this offseason. What I would also say, I mean, Mully, you know this as well as anybody. I mean, their track record is their track record. Jerry Krause, 18 years. John Paxson, 17 years. I mean, they just don't move on executives that quickly. And also, you know, trading Zach LaVine and landing on parts that fit, that was noted by ownership. I mean, my sense is, like, when Arturas signed Zach to that deal, you know, the ability to eventually trade it was probably something that was favorable in the signing of that deal. And then the fact that he was able to execute that, my guess is that was viewed upon ownership, favorably by ownership. So, you know, they know where they are, and I think there'll be conversations about how to get out of that middle this offseason organizationally, for sure. But I personally would be surprised if any moves are made.
Casey, I have to ask you about who you sat by at the game last night. Right, you were right behind Caleb Williams. Any shot we got of Caleb Williams, you were in it, and it was just a joy to watch. Sort of you watch Caleb Williams.
Did you have a tape recorder?
Did you get any tea for us?
He might have said.
What could you hear from Caleb Williams?
I like leaving those people. I mean, first of all, he got not bothered. He got asked to take selfies with fans so many times, and I actually debated whether or not to tweet this, but I ended up doing it, and it got a lot of engagement, which I'm happy about, because you can say this is a small thing, but I watched 50, 60 kids go up to that dude, and he didn't turn one kid down for selfie.
Oh,
and
often nice.
He would take the phone himself and then flip, you know, the reverse camera thing around and take the picture himself and then hand the camera back to the kid. Like, he was an expert at it. And so, you know, those are little things, but, you know, I was impressed by that. And
yeah.
So I don't like bothering people in those situations. You know, when I'm not working, he's not working. I did have one interaction with him because Coby White came chasing a loose ball one time and absolutely blew up the row to the point where the chairs smashed into our media table, and Cassidy Hubbard from ESPN and myself both lost our monitors. The table came into us. It was actually a pretty severe collision, and the first time it had happened all year, and Caleb and his buddy were away from the seats getting something to eat.
So gosh.
Dude, you almost got taken out, and then the Caleb smiled, and I said, oh wait, you probably could have handled it, but your buddy might have been toast.
Casey, that's great. Could you imagine Caleb Williams gets hurt at the Bulls game?
Well, he's been sacked enough.
I think right. White would have been hurt, actually, because Caleb looks like a pretty big dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And he threw that ball into the second row.
Upper
deck. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, no, he was in a good mood. He was cheering on, and the few highlights the Bulls provided for him. But, no, I mean it was fun to see him engage with all the kids like that.
Did you get his wallet? I know you kind of.
I am kind of cheap, and I was looking for it, but I couldn't find it.
Oh, you dropped this. That's awesome. Yeah. KC, here's the problem is, you know, we don't know what they can do, what trade they can make. You know, Kevin Durant might be available. The ghost of Kevin Durant, bring him in. It's like, you know, wouldn't it be great if the Joker wanted out of town and wanted to come to Chicago because there's a lot of he likes the Serbian community here. I don't know what the hell it would take Giannis in 2 years or a year. I mean, I'm just saying, how do you get better? Do you have to win the lottery? We got 1% chance or whatever. What do you do?
Well, I'm sorry. I'm battling my first cold of the year. How about that? I stay healthy all season and I get sick at the very last.
Your body knows it's time to recover.
That's how it is.
what I would say is the overall, like the big picture plan is, I mean, this is what I think we'll hear today is, you know, they're going to, for now, focus on internal development and obviously look for opportunities if something presents itself. But they project to have significant cap space in 2026, not this offseason. So that's why I said if there are going to be changes made, it's going to be via the trade market this offseason.
Mm.
They have a lot of contracts coming off the books in 2026. Now, if they want to, they're going to have to try to re-sign Kobe then, so that will be eating up some of that cap space. But to me, the offseason focuses on re-signing Josh Giddey, you know, maybe looking for opportunities to win some things on the margins and then just hoping for internal development. So I think largely you're going to see most of the same team back next season that you have this season.
Wow. Maybe Miami will be back again too. Help. Thanks, Casey. Great stuff. Yeah. You know they will.
Thanks, Casey.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Have a good day. Thanks, sir.
Gill penetrates, leans in. Oh, what a move. Kendall Gill, a beauty.
All stolen by Kendall Gill. They've got a 3-on-1 break, and Gill gets the basket and a foul on Tonday. Gill inside for the basket with 2.9 seconds left.
Bulls to a season low, 90 points. And now we'll play the Hawks Friday night for a chance to get into the NBA playoffs.
He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Kendall Gill, KG, we wish we were talking to you under better circumstances. He is the analyst on the Bulls postgame show on CHSN with Jason Goff. You're on the midday show with Marshall Harris and Layla Rahimi. How are you?
I'm doing good. A little bit nervous. My son just started driving and we're on Lakeshore Drive right now. So
hold up.
Woo!
Your son is driving right now as you're giving us this interview?
Yeah, and guys are blowing their horns at us and stuff. Stay in the lane, Phoenix.
Phoenix, the super recruit, Mr. Basketball himself, and I'm calling him that because he's Mr. Basketball.
Mr. Basketball, but he's just learning how to drive. So,
oh, I know. I didn't mean the official title. I'm sorry about that. But he is to us. He can do everything, but he's learning how to drive.
Kendall, how long has he been driving?
A couple of weeks.
Okay. Well, you're out of the parking lot, so that's good, because I remember learning to drive in a parking lot.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we worked on it, but, I mean, this is his first time really where I let him go, and I'm not saying anything. But, you know, I had to come on with you guys, so I told him to drive. So
this is amazing. And so he's on Lakeshore. Is this his first time driving on Lakeshore?
This is his second or third time driving on Lakeshore, but
He's
driving
a
good distance now, so, you know, he's getting better.
Okay, good progress. Well, we know if something happens and I don't want you to freak out, but the Bulls kind of freaked us out last night a little bit. I guess, you know, going back to last year, Kendall, and when they lost in the play-in game, and I was reminded of this, that Jimmy Butler didn't play in that game either. So it's not like you could say, well, they don't have Jimmy Butler. Why do you think things went as poorly as they did last night, and the fact that the Bulls just didn't seem to have that fight on the defensive end of the court?
Well, the Miami Heat came up with a great game plan. What they did was they did not let the Bulls penetrate like they did in the previous three games this season. Wherever Kobe White was, Bam Adebayo was sort of like a spy, like you have on a quarterback. And that's what Bam Adebayo did to him. They didn't let Kobe penetrate. Also, you know, I played for the Miami Heat for one season, and Pat Riley has this formula where if you challenge shots and get a hand up in a shooter's face, they shoot 35%. And you look at the Bulls' percentage last night, 39%. Every one of their shots, they challenged. And, you know, the defense was impeccable for the Miami Heat and the Bulls. They just would not let the Bulls do what they've done post All-Star break. So yeah, I mean, you got to give it to the Miami Heat as well. They played a great game.
Now, Kendall, there were so many lessons where I feel like you and I have talked about things that we've seen in this Bulls team or things you would like to have seen more of. There are comments that you have made, you know, on the shows that you guys do during the games. And I feel like it all came to a head yesterday. You know, the Heat were a mirror, and the playoff Heat especially. One of the things that you talk about so much this season was points in the paint. And let's start there when it came to just what the Heat were able to do in the paint. This is something that you have talked about a lot and for good reason.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing that the Bulls have done post All-Star break is they've gotten into the paint. They've scored maybe 60-plus points per game in the paint when they've won. They've also gotten to the free throw line, and they've also something that just did not allow yesterday. Also, the Bulls weren't able to knock down the three-point shot the way that they normally do. And when you give Tyler Hero three free looks at the basket at the beginning of the game, you let him get started, it's going to be hard to shut his water off. And the Bulls just weren't able to do that. What I would have done after Tyler Hero scored a couple of times going down the paint is I would have trapped the pick and roll. And had I done that, then I think that would have slowed Tyler Hero down and made other players make plays.
What are you left with now, Kendall, after it was a surge, 15-5 to close the season? We pointed out that none of those wins came against good teams that were playing at full strength, except for the Lakers wins. And even in the first Lakers win, the one out there, both Luka and LeBron were coming off injury. Otherwise, you've got no Tyrese Halliburton that win over the Pacers. You've got no Aaron Gordon, no Joker, and that win over the Nuggets. And to me, it seems like we know the Bulls can beat bad teams, but they're not quite ready for the big time. And I don't even know if playing the Heat in a weaker Eastern Conference is the big time. What's your takeaway from where they are now compared to maybe where you thought they were?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that. I mean, they were down 13 against the Denver Nuggets. And, you know, they were able to walk the Denver Nuggets down and came back when Luka and LeBron came back in L.A. and they were injured. Hey, if you're on the court, that means you're able to play. So, you know, injuries or whatever, I don't count that. So I think that they did beat some decent teams. It's just that they just weren't ready for what they saw last night. I mean, Eric Spoelstra did a great job of making the adjustments that he didn't do all season long. I mean, they beat the Heat three times during the season. So, you know, that's and it was the same team. So it's something to be said for that. And it's just that the thing is that Eric Spoelstra just made the adjustment to them and the Bulls didn't.
What do you think about the use of the Heat zone? I thought their defensive spacing was really effective against the Bulls.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Layla. It was great last night because they did not allow penetration. And every time Kobe White had the basketball defensively, they were in his jock. I mean, you look at Andrew Wiggins, who's 6'8", 6'9". The length really bothered Kobe. And you look at the previous game against the Miami Heat, the same thing happened with Andrew Wiggins. So I knew that possibly could be a problem. And they did a great job of just throwing guys at Kobe White so he didn't become a spark plug like he normally does.
I don't know if you got to hear Arturis Karnašovas earlier today at his season-end press conference, but he talked about basically making it sound like this is going to be the group next year. And, you know, they've been mired in mediocrity for a minute now. Kendall, do major moves need to be made to this team? And if so, what are you looking at?
No, major moves don't need to be made. I mean, you made the major move. You traded Zach. You traded DeMar. Let's not forget Trey Jones, who was integral in the process of this team making a run in the second half of the season, was injured. I think that if you retain him, you got to re-sign, of course, Josh, and you keep all of your cornerstones together with Kobe White and Modest Bucelis, then you have something. What I would hope that the Bulls are in position to do is draft Derek Queen out of Maryland, who's a 6'10" power forward, who, in my opinion, sort of reminds me of Moses Malone when he was younger, with the exception that he can knock down three-point shots and he can really handle the basketball. I think if you add him to the mix of this team, then now you're starting to head in the right direction.
We also heard AK talk about shortening the time of transition and talked about the younger players that he's gotten. You're mentioning some of them as well in discussing who they got from that Kings and San Antonio trade, for example, and how they put this together. When you hear him say that, what do you think that means, just knowing your experience with this team and knowing how this is coming together in a way?
Well, it's coming together. I mean, you see Modest Bucelis, when he got the consistent time, how he was able to put up consistent numbers, how he was able to play well consistently. And the thing is, you got to do that with all of your young players. I thought with Zach Collins, when Vucevic was hurt this season, he did a great job at the starting center position because of his ability to rim run, because of his ability to protect the rim, because of his ability to knock down three-point shots. I think that, you know, he has a lot of untapped potential. You know, you look at Julian Phillips, who came around this season, and, you know, they asked him to improve his three-point shooting. He did a great job at that all season long. And, you know, Dalen Terry as well. I thought that he played really well. So the Bulls are headed in the right direction as far as their development is concerned. They just need a couple more pieces. And I'm telling you, Derrick Queen would be a great get for this franchise. If they can do all those things, guys, then the Bulls are going to be in great position for the future.
Joined by Kendall Gill, CHSN Bulls analyst and a 15-year NBA vet. He's in the car right now with his son, Phoenix Gill, who's been driving for a couple of weeks, and we're wishing them a safe journey. I don't know how far
Phoenix.
Y'all are going, but how much more time?
Hey, look, we're pulling in the garage now, so I'm I'm okay now.
I'm not going to lie to you, Kendall. Us and also Ray and Robbie, our producers, and the listeners, when we heard the pause because you cut out for a little bit, we were scared something might have happened.
Yeah, he was trying to change lanes and somebody was blowing at him. So, you know, I just had to, you know, pause myself for a second. But we're good now.
Okay.
Changing on Lakeshore Drive.
Glad you made it home. Lakeshore Drive is a bit of a test if you haven't had those driving chops tested, I guess.
The cutaway to Phoenix just now. Hey, Phoenix, remember, if millions of people can do it, so can you. You can do things that millions of people cannot do. I'm just saying.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. As you're looking at this and you're talking about adding a few pieces, I just have one question. What do you think the Bulls should do with Patrick Williams?
Well, I mean, it's been 5 years. And, you know, he was the fourth pick in the draft. I know that the Bulls franchise expected, you know, more development from Patrick as well as the rest of the city and us as well. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bulls tried to put Patrick into a trade package because, you know, that sometimes works because I think that Modest Bucelis is the small forward of the future. I think that there's no question about that. And he and Patrick play the same position. So, you know, I don't know whether the front office is happy with Patrick coming off of the bench. It's just all something that we are going to have to wait and see. The thing is that, you know, with Patrick, I mean, he has so much potential. He has so much. You see, you look at his body, he passes the eye test and everything. It's just something that hasn't been there as far as the development. I don't know what it is, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bulls tried to move on from Patrick.
We were also wondering the same thing about Vooch. I know that's been wondered about for a while. You know, he had a season, especially that first half, you could argue all-star for sure. When we hear AK say he's going to have more financial flexibility in the summer of 2026, I did think, oh, that's Vooch's last year. You know, that's when his contract runs out, is after 2025. Do you think there's a chance that they move him in the offseason?
There's always a chance. I mean, you know, this is the NBA, and, you know, there was rumors that Vooch was going to be traded during the trade deadline, you know, and Zach and You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Vooch was moved as well, because I think that the Bulls are trying to look at the future with their younger players. It'd be a shame for Vooch to go, but because he's given us a lot of good years. He had a solid year this year, did a great job pre-All-Star break, and then when the Bulls started making their run, he did a great job of assimilating into what the Bulls were trying to do when Josh Giddey was running up and down the court, Kobe White, we're getting up and down the court. Vooch did a great job of becoming the secondary break option. So it's no question that he can play with this group. Now it's the question on whether the Bulls want the salary cap flexibility like you just mentioned, Layla.
I just wonder, Kendall, if this isn't the time where you should be trying to trade whoever you can trade to get draft capital so that if a star becomes available on another team, whether that be, I'm just wish casting here, a Joker, a Giannis, whoever, they actually have some bullets to swap with somebody else, a way to barter, because right now they don't really have anything that they could trade and be in that superstar conversation like some of these other floundering franchises who have been in lottery situations for a minute have.
No, that's understandable. You can throw Joel Embiid in that mix too. I mean, because there's been rumors that he's his days are numbered in Philly as well. So yeah, I mean, that's why you accumulate assets in this business, so that you can trade for draft capital or acquiring a superstar player. So, you know, and the Bulls have a few of those players that could be thrown into that mix. You know, one in particular that Jason and I talked about yesterday was Ayo Dosunmu, because a lot of teams would be attracted to Ayo because of what he brings to the table. I mean, the guy is a professional, whether he starts or he comes off of the bench, he's productive. He's a big defensive guard that can score. So I'm sure a lot of teams will be attracted to Ayo Dosunmu as well.
Yeah, if I'm a GM for another team, I definitely would be trying to get Ayo. I know he had that injury setback this season. It's a shame because I feel like he was really putting together a nice body of work.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he always does. Each and every year he has improved. You know, I thought he was a steal for the Bulls to draft him in the second round. I thought he was a first rounder all day long. And, you know, he's turned out to be what we all thought he was going to be, what he was at Morgan Park High School, what he was at Illinois. And, you know, he just gets better each and every year. So, you know, he's an attractive piece for every team in the league.
Kendall, I have to ask you this. As a 15-year NBA veteran, what is more stressful? Is it playing in the NBA or is it driving with Phoenix Gill on the radio on Lakeshore Drive?
Driving on Lakeshore Drive on the radio.
Listen, when you told us what the situation was, I was like, oh.
Yeah, because he was making a couple moves there that I, you know, that kind of got my attention. But hey, we're safe and sound now. So
I had to ask because I don't know if we're helping you doing the radio interview or if we're hurting you doing this during that.
No. It's cool. I'm glad that, I mean, that was my first time with him driving on Lakeshore Drive, and you know, he handled himself pretty well because normally I'd be giving him some instruction, but instead I was talking to you guys. So he made it home. So
yeah,
thumbs up.
Relaxing the situation, Kendall. We appreciate you visiting with us and talking about the Bulls' disappointing season. Thanks,
and congratulations to everything Phoenix has going on. Northwestern's getting a great one. You know that.
All right, thank you guys. Really appreciate it.